Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat up by its tail, and your third fiancé didn't show. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. And that was the repeated kind of theme of that song. And everybody, you want to go to a place where everybody knows your name. And that touched a deep place in human beings. That the sitcom was popular because perhaps they had good writers who made the funny, you know, interaction between Sam and Diane, I think her name was. But more than that, there is a longing in the human heart that it was tapping into. There's a longing in the human heart to know and be known, to find a place, not just where everybody knows your name. That was good because it was a little pub in Boston called Cheers, and that's where people would go. And I think one of them was Norm, and you know there was, you know, they'd come, and but they were known there, like people actually knew who they were, and it would be significant if they were missing. It would matter. And so, you know, that touches a place in all of us and awakens a longing in all of us where we all say, yeah, I want to know and be known and love and be loved. And so when Paul finishes the letter to Philippians in the last three verses, if you got one of these pieces of paper when you came in, our scripture verse is on it in the bold print at the very top. If you didn't, in your Bible, it's Philippians 4, 21 through 23. And Paul is saying to the Philippians at the very end here, we've got the last three verses of this letter, and he says, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. On the ESV, I want to read the ESV because it's different from the NIV in an important way to me. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. When Paul is saying, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus, it seems like, oh, say hi. But greeting for Paul was an incredibly important thing, and he has it in every one of his letters. Somewhere you can find him saying, you know, greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet so-and-so. In Romans, he has a list of about 12 different statements about greeting. And if we understand that greeting means, literally, to give a hospitable recognition to someone that they matter and that they are significant to you. We understand where this longing of the human heart is being met by God in the gathering of his church and of his people. When the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts and exploded in these people who gave their lives to Jesus for the very first time, the first thing they did was gather. They gathered. And they gathered for a purpose. And one of the four devotions of the early church was fellowship, koinonia. We can miss the importance of this. That we were created and designed to gather together for a purpose that's greater than ourselves. We were designed for that. You look at it, it's everywhere. It's in the pub in Boston called Cheers. You know, we're gathering together so that there's a place where people are known and recognized. So people who live all alone and don't have anybody else can have a group of people to know if they're missing or if something's wrong. There's an innate desire in all of us to have this sense of belonging and connecting that's accomplishing something bigger than us. That's why we love sports teams. Everybody has a place on the team and we accomplish something. Right? We get the inflated pigskin across the line. Yes. And we celebrate. But bigger than that are people who go to war together. And they're laying down their lives for a greater purpose. And they all know that about each other. Right? Yeah, in a strange way, in a negative way, it's why a lot of people join gangs. Because the gang gives them a place to belong, a place where they suddenly have significance, a place where other people know who they are, a role to play, and a purpose. It's destructive, but it still taps into that thing in all of us where we are designed, and it's like St. Augustine said, we are created for you, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. I believe that our hearts are restless, our hearts, our souls are restless until we have found that place where we are connected and gathered together for the sake of something bigger than us, which is ultimately eternal, and it's God. And that's why Paul, in the beginning here, is saying to the Philippians, where we first started out this letter, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. That's the koinonia. He prays with joy for the Philippians because they're put together in Philippians 1:4. They're put together in something. They're gathered together. We as followers of Jesus have been separated out from the world, right? We're set apart, and then we're gathered together. So set apart, gathered together for God's purpose in the world, and in this case of the Philippians and many of the people that Paul is talking to, it is at risk of life. And many of them will be imprisoned. Many of them will die for this cause that Paul is saying, make sure you greet. Now, what he goes on to say, besides just greet, is greet every saint. And that's why I wanted the ESV. Because the NIV says greet all the saints, which is fine. But I like the emphasis that the ESV gave it when it says greet every saint. So in other words, it's not just greetings, saints, but it's greetings, Roberta, greeting, Matthias, greeting, Melissa. It's that, you know, okay, hey, church, versus hi, Karen. Was it Kevin, did you say? Hi, Kevin. Here for the first time. When you sit in front, Kevin, you just got to know, all right? Your introduction, initiation, whatever. But it's that Paul, when Paul says greet, it's to make sure every saint hears from me that they matter to me, and that they're significant in the kingdom of God, as all of you are. The very first complaint that I ever got as a pastor really devastated me. Somebody actually complained about me to the PPR committee, which is the committee that is in the church to oversee, you know, the pastor even and everybody else, and that's where you bring your complaints. So there you go, now that you know that. Oh, boy. We're going to have a full meeting now. But it was devastating to me. But the complaint was, Pastor Tom, this was in Glassford, not here. Pastor Tom walked right by me and didn't even say hello. Right? And I was just devastated. I thought, wow. First of all, because I don't like to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to walk by somebody. Secondly, I knew that I did. there's no defending here, right? Well, you know, it was like, no, I did, you know, I didn't remember doing that. But I do know that I'm sure that I did do that. And it's like, wow. Because the purpose of the church is to make sure that we all understand that we matter to one another and that we are significant, where everybody knows your name. But it's bigger than your name. It's everybody knows your heart. We had somebody in our Wednesday group here, we sit in a circle here, last Wednesday talking about the message. And she said about her husband, she said, I just love this man so much. It was really cool. And she said, because he knows me through and through, and he still loves me. Isn't that what we want? Don't we all want to be known for who we truly are, that there's nothing we're holding back, there's nothing we're pretending, there's nothing we're hiding, there's nothing we're just presenting? We were just, right, to our spouses or to whoever, it's like, you know me, you know the flaws and the problems and the issues, and you love me still. And it was like, wow. And that is exactly, you guys, what God, in Romans 8, is talking about when Paul writes, what can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus? My quirks, my personality problems, my this, my that? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. And nothing will separate us. He knows me, and he loves. He knows me, and he died for me. And so the church is a model of that. The church is a model of that. The church, when Paul says greet every saint, he's saying make sure everyone knows that they are significant and that they matter. And so, to all of you whom I have walked by and not said hello, I apologize. I'll do it again, not because I don't consider you, but because I get locked in things sometimes in Sunday mornings, and I'm zoned out, and it's like, okay. But that's no excuse, in a sense, that's no excuse for me not making sure that I'm conveying to you that I'm not here on Sunday mornings just for church. I'm here for Betty and Hannah and Perry, and Anna Maria, and Daryl. I'm here for you. I need to see you. I don't need to just see a church. I need to see you, and I want you to know that you matter to me. But bigger than that, and more important than that, is that we do that for each other, right? That Melissa makes sure that Barb knows that she's significant and that she matters. And Barb, let's Melissa, right? That we greet each other in a way that enables us to know that, you know, these people at Bradley Airport, they know me. They know me. they've seen me in my good moments and then my not so good moments, and they love me still, right? The bigger the church you get, the less and less that's going to happen. Because there are places, and there may be some people sitting here today, and it's like, people don't know my name. And they don't know me. Which drives us back as churches to the place where it's like if we grow beyond a couple dozen people, if we grow, you now have to start breaking it down into smaller groups where people can know each other's names and then assemble together, right, to celebrate that. And that brings us back to home groups and small groups and all of that thing that we're very, as much as this is a deep need in all of us, there's also a resistance to fulfilling that need in, but I don't have another night, I'm too busy, or I don't want people in my house, or I don't want to go, right? And so that resistance then comes up to keep us from the very thing that our soul is crying out for and saying, I need this. And so there we go. There's the quandary of the church. And we will continue to make things, ways available so that we all have that opportunity to be that. And to continue what Philippians is asking us to do, which is to gather to fulfill God's design in us as a fellowship called out by God to gather together and to greet one another, each and every one, that we matter and are significant. Years ago, there was a lady who attended our church by the name of Pat Stimley. Pat, when she was in the womb, had the cord wrapped around her neck, and so she lost oxygen for an extended amount of time and had brain damage. And Pat functioned well enough. She lived on her own in an apartment just a couple, maybe a block from here. But she struggled, you know. And she came to church every Sunday and sometimes during the week. And she would take ownership. I remember she took ownership of the kitchen one time. I mean, she just decided it was hers. And I'm sitting in my office, and there was a new lady in our church who just started coming, and she had volunteered to help set out the donuts and stuff. And all of a sudden I heard pots and pans banging. I thought, what in the world, pots and pans? And I went down there, and Pat is cussing her out and saying, get out of my kitchen. This is my kitchen. Welcome to Bradley Epworth. So glad you volunteered. So we sat her down, and the person right away understood, you know, what's going on here. And Pat just started crying and just crying. She said, well, this is my kitchen. I said, well, Pat, you know, it's all of our kitchen. You know, we got through it. We got through it. And she got some other assignments that, that she could do, and nobody was going to compete with. But listen, you guys, every Sunday was Sunday in a way because Pat was here. She was part of who we are. And when Pat was missing, everybody said, where's Pat? You didn't want to cross her. But sometimes when we were up here or people were up here dancing, because in days past it wasn't just the kids, Pat would come up and she would come up here and dance, maybe with a flag. And it was like, thank you, Jesus. Right? Thank you, Jesus, that this lady who lives by herself over there in this little basement apartment and goes through the trash cans and the dumpsters and comes with clothing that probably hadn't been washed in who knows how long, had a place where everybody knew her name. And I think that's what, you know, like what the spirit behind which Paul writes this is, greet every saint. Greet every saint, not just the elders. Don't greet the deacons. Don't just, you know, do not, like, greet every saint. And that, as he ends this beautiful, amazingly beautiful letter that is full of such a glorious wisdom and scripture verses that we quote all the time, tucked into these last three verses is a treasure for us to remember who we are. Because as we gather together, the ones who've been separated and then gathered together, we are Paul's favorite word for us. And so our favorite word for all of us to each other is saint. We are saints. Now for me, coming from the Roman Catholic Church, that's a challenge. Because saints got to be approved by the Pope after so many miracles have been done in their name. And I don't know of anything like that that's happened to me yet. I don't think the Pope knows my name. And so for me, it's kind of a stretch, right? And besides, they were good people who did all sorts of amazing and wonderful things. But as someone who is in the Protestant stream post-Reformation, we understand the word saint not to be strictly reserved for someone who lived an unusually holy and beautiful life. But we know the word saint to be someone who has been declared by God to be holy and unblemished. Now that in and of itself, you guys, ought to cause us to stop for a moment and think that I'm sitting in a room full of people who have been declared unblemished and holy by God. And that they're all looking at me right now saying, and so are you. And that's who we are, right? When we come together, greet every saint. And we're saints, we are declared holy and unblemished, as it says here, in Christ Jesus. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. That we are, by being in Christ Jesus, we become in Jesus. I get into Jesus, all right? Now, we always pray, Jesus, come into me. Which is right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, come into my heart. But really, the transitions that's taking place, and when I do that, is that I'm going into him. Because every saint is a saint only because by faith, believing in him, we move into him. And being in him, we are now covered, that every sin we've committed has a covering. Every sin we've committed has been atoned for. The wrath of God that comes upon every sin is on him. And I am declared unblemished because every blemish was put on Jesus and he paid the price for it. And so therefore, now I am holy and unblemished and a saint of God sitting here today with a bunch of saints of God who likewise have been blessed by God with this undeserved favor. We call that grace. This undeserved favor of taking our blemishes off and putting them onto him and his perfect righteousness onto us. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Because we not only are saints declared by God, but we are saints who are in process becoming who we've been declared to be. And what that means is that we are, all of us, being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. That's called sanctification. When we're declared holy and blameless, justification. We've been justified with God. We've been set right. Praise God. But that's just the beginning of a work that God is doing in us to make us like his son. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be changed as you walk this out by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, making you more and more like Jesus as you walk through this life. And so we are declared and we are holy before God. But in reality, you and I are becoming holy and blameless in our own selves. You see the difference between the declaration that God has made and the reality? I mean, God can call me unblemished, but I happen to know that I've got plenty of them. But God is removing them as I yield to his Holy Spirit and as he works in me to transform me glory by glory, becoming more and more like Jesus. And that is what we're greeting in each other. That's what we're greeting in each other. It's like Perry Cruz. Perry, and you know, thank you for all the work you guys did this last week. That was awesome. But Perry, what I see in you is someone that Jesus wants to become more and more and more like him. And when I see that in you, Perry, that's awesome. I hope you see that in me. We've been together for 33 years. I hope they see something that. I hope you see something that's changed, because I've seen you change. And all of us, you guys, that's when we gather together, we're all a work in process, but we've been declared already. We have that assurance that before God, we are considered holy and blameless and unblemished. And yet, when we know our human reality, we see that there is a work in progress. But we are here. We are here to help that work progress. We are here to encourage one another. We are here to build one another up. We are here to release the power of the Holy Spirit to see this thing that God has designed us for, which is the gathering of the people who know who we are and love us still, loving us into the next thing. Loving us into healing from the wounds of the past. Loving us into understanding in our minds of what God wants for us. Loving each other into something better, something more like God, something more holy. We're all on this journey. We're doing this journey together, so we greet one another. Tyler, greetings. Guten Tag. And it's like Tyler, I want nothing more than to see Tyler more like Jesus. That brings me joy. And I want Tyler to see that in me. And so we greet one another to encourage one another. How's it going on the journey? How's it going on the road? How are you doing becoming what you've already been declared to be? Kind of crazy in a way, thinking that, you know, we're doing a work that we've already accomplished because it was accomplished for us. But what he's doing in us, we take into eternity with us. Now, Paul then mentions one thing here. He mentions all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Now he drops this little Caesar's household thing into there. Because what he's saying is, you guys, and this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. At the end of Philippians, he's saying, guess what? The gospel's going forth. The Great Commission's being fulfilled. Our partnership in the gospel, it's working. From an upper room in Jerusalem to the living room of the emperor of the Roman Empire. We're getting there. We're winning hearts. Earlier in Philippians, he said the whole garrison of the officers, whatever, you know, was being affected by the gospel. Well, now he's saying this is Caesar's household. The Roman, I don't know if that means, there's no way, I don't know if that means household servants. I don't know if that means blood relations. I don't know who that means, but it's Caesar's household that's getting infected with the Christianity blessing. And so he's reminding them. And that's what we do when we get together here. When we come together, greet one another who are in partnership for the gospel. That's what he said. I pray with joy for you. We pray with joy for each other. We're in partnership for the gospel. Have you heard of anybody that has received Jesus lately? When we have testimonies, when we have baptisms, we rejoice. Do you know how wonderful that is? What a celebration that is. When we start telling each other, it's like, it's working. God's getting it. God's using us. The purpose that we're gathered for is to proclaim him and be him to the world. It's like, when it's spreading, it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's such an incredible celebration. So we come to greet each other. It's like, did you hear that testimony? Weren't those baptisms awesome? And we feel it. Don't you? We feel it. We feel the purpose of God at work in and through us as a community, and we rejoice and we celebrate that. You've seen the locker room after the Super Bowl, right? Now they wear goggles when they spray this champagne on each other. It's like, that's pretty wimpy back in the day. But anyway, that's what's happening in the angels above us and in all of our hearts when someone comes to Jesus. We win. The efforts, the prayers, the support, the encouragement. Oh, God is getting it. God is getting glorified. Every conversion is a glorification of God and an encouragement to the saints that we are to each other. As we all are recipients, at the very end, all recipients of verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Paul starts all of his letters with grace be to you. And he ends all of his letters with grace be with you. And this grace, this undeserved favor that God has given to all of us, in Romans 8, it's described very beautifully. What then shall we say in response to this? If God's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That's the undeserved favor. You did not deserve for God to give up his son for you. Sorry. You all know that. Right? Nobody here deserved. It's favor that we did not deserve, but God did it anyway. But listen to what he says in 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously, there's the grace, graciously, undeserved favor, give us all things? And then the all things that he starts to delineate are two. One is that we have been completely forgiven in an unchallenged way. The forgiveness that God gives to you, the things that you've done, the things that you've done to hurt other people, and you've all done them. Everybody in this room has hurt other human beings. With our words, with our actions, with our failure to speak, and our failure to act, we've all hurt other human beings. And God's forgiveness of that is unchallengeable. Because it was paid for. And you didn't deserve it. Come on. We didn't deserve it. But God did it anyway. It's undeserved. And the other thing that he says in Romans 8 is not only is it our forgiveness complete and unchallengeable, but the love that he has is with cords that are indestructible. So when he says grace into your life, it's the continuing realization and the understanding that your forgiveness is unchallengeable and the love is indestructible, and that the work that's going on in you, he began a good work in you and he will bring it to completion, we began Philippians with, is an ongoing undeserved grace in your life that lands. It lands, where he says in Philippians, it lands in your spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that's pneuma, which is what God breathed into a lump of clay to bring Adam forth, and what Jesus committed to the Father when he died on the cross. That pneuma, that spirit, that's you, who you are in your heart of hearts and who you will be in all eternity. God is continually pouring into you day by day by day, making you more like him, protecting you, blessing you, supporting you. And in that heart of hearts and who you will be in all eternity, God is speaking God's undeserved favor into you. God's undeserved favor into your heart. God's undeserved favor into your soul. God's undeserved favor, just let it get pouring over you, pouring over you, pouring over you, making more and more you more and more like him. So that you will know in the end these things. That you matter. That you are significant. That you have been declared by God to be holy and unblemished. That you are becoming, in reality, holy and unblemished. That you are what you are because you are by faith in Christ Jesus. That you have received, are receiving, and will receive God's undeserved favor in your inmost being, the place of who you will be forever. That's who we are when we gather together. And that's who we become together and reach out to the world to bring others into that as well.